These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hey, Kashi Tapes, episode 73 coming your way right now. I'm John Hewlett, along with
Favaz.
And today we're going to do an interview that Favaz did with Joe Satriani just recently.
Yeah, just when we tape this, this will be a week ago that I talked to him. And I've had him in the studio before, and he is one of those guitar virtuosos that you hear about. If you don't know who Joe Satriani is, search him out, listen to some of his music. He has made some big Kashi songs in the day. In fact, we still use Summer Song on the Kashi traffic bed for the morning show. Mm-hmm. And we get to that in the interview, so he's good.
Before we get to the interview, we'll let you know that our sponsor is Black Raven AFC. Websites are not like the movie Field of Dreams. It's not like if you build it, they will come. You got to build something with quality, and you got to make sure that it has an enticing aspect to it to make people want to engage with you and your business online. If you want your business website to get found online, it takes good strategy from Black Raven AFC. They'll start implementing your plan right away. So why don't you just get a hold of them, get your business going and up and running on the internet the way it needs to be running so that you can make a living for yourself and your family or whoever. Every business needs a good website. And again, the best is Black Raven AFC Digital. Their website is blackravendigital.com. Reach up today with Black Raven. Now we move on to the interview.
All right. Joe Satriani has a new record and he's got a new song and all that good stuff. And we talk about it here. And of course, he's a member of Chickenfoot. So he's got a Sammy Hagar connection, which is a big deal to Kashi listeners and all that good stuff. So here is Joe. Hey, with me on the phone is the Satch man himself. And it's been a Joe Satriani. Hello, Joe. Good morning. How are you?
Satch man. Does he go by that? Satch man?
Well, he goes by, there's a song called Satch Boogie.
Yeah.
And so that's what I call them.
Oh, okay.
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. So I have to tell you, one of the biggest thrills that I ever had in my radio career, which is now 29 years long here at Kashi, was when you came in, you brought an amp, and you played live in the studio. I don't know if you remember that, because you've probably done it a million times, but to stand there next to you and watch you play guitar was something else.
No, yeah, of course I remember it, yeah. We didn't do many of those, performances at radio stations because it was logistically a bit difficult.
Right.
It's always a little easier when you sing, but when you're just playing, you got to bring a little bit more gear than fits in the studio sometimes.
Why would that be?
So, well, I remember he brought in a big amp. It was Joe Satriani. I there might have been somebody else there. This was when we were still in the powerhouse at Union Station, and he brought in an amp because he had an electric guitar. He wasn't going to play acoustic. And it was just the thrill of a lifetime to be standing there. It was just me and him.
Yeah, when you're standing next to someone that has exceptional skills, like world-class skills,
yeah,
it takes your breath away, man.
It really does.
Yeah, you realize the difference between mediocre and
total,
and great.
Total. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that must have been a thrill.
It was neat.
Just you and him in the
studio. It was just me and him.
In the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, and he played.
To have Joe Satriani playing just for you.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Right.
Especially in your case. Especially in your case. I mean, because it's electric. If it's an acoustic guitar, you just kind of play in front of the microphone. But with you, it was a little bit different.
Yeah. It needs a little bit of setup time. But, you guys are always so, so really gracious to me. You played the music.
Well, we are very nice
people.
Yes,
we are nice for you.
I'm eternally grateful for. So thank you very much.
I have to tell you also, to this day, still, and I do the morning show now, and I don't know how long they've used it. We've used Summer Song as our traffic bed. We did traffic in the morning.
Wonder if he thinks that's an insult.
You're going to find out.
I knew that song was good for something.
Great song that it is, but it's just perfect. So anyway, Joe's got a new, do you have a new album, Joe?
I do. We spent the last part of last year putting it together in between doing the Experience Hendrix tour, but we got it all wrapped up right at the first of the year, and we got an April 10th release date on Sony Legacy, and we just started doing the single, our video premiere for The song 1980 was yesterday.
So I heard it, yeah.
We're riding high, we're having fun, and we're just about ready to get on tour as well.
All right. I wonder how that Jimi Hendrix experience thing went for him.
I didn't ask him. Yeah. I've been to that a couple times. It is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't imagine it being, you know, a bad experience for him.
Yeah. And it's good to hear he's still putting out albums, too. Yeah. Most people have kind of given up on that.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that song, 1980. So when I saw it, I was like, that wasn't the year you were born, right?
No.
What does it mean to you? What does 1980 mean to you?
Well, you know, back then, I was just kicking off working with this band I put together called The Squares.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we finally put out a record. We finally got a record deal and put out a record. And, you know, the band is no longer.
It broke. Because they went to Hollywood, became the Hollywood Squares.
Oh,
hello, everybody.
Bam,
up in 85. And tragically, we lost our lead singer and bass player many years ago. And it was kind of like a labor of love for me and the other guys to finally get this record out. And we were like the hardest working, least successful band in the Bay Area back then. And it was kind of power pop. I would tell people it was sort of like Van Halen, Green Day, Blink 182 meets Everly Brothers or something. I don't know.
Everly Brothers.
I know.
How about
that?
Get in there?
Isn't that weird?
That's probably why we never made it. We were just too confusing.
It was the Everly Brothers part.
for people. But we put together an album. We got the record deal. It came out. And then as I was sort of, you know, resting at home thinking, wow, okay, that took 40 years, I suddenly felt like, well, I had to write one more song to sort of cap it all off, and I thought, what was it that I wanted to do back then in 1980 but didn't? And I wanted to rock a little bit more like Eddie Van Halen and, you know, a little bit less like, I don't know, The Cars or something like that. But the politics in the band,
sure,
you know, had us being a little bit more new wave than I was comfortable with, I think. And it's my own fault. So I wrote a song that starts with a guitar solo, of course, and I just thought, I'm going to capture the moment. You know, it wasn't quite the shred, you know, era of the mid-'80s and late 80s. It was still a bit more groovy, a little bit more rock and roll, and I thought, wow, this is an underexposed period, you know, just as MTV was getting started and everything. So
right.
I didn't know if it would ever make it to the record. I did it. I brought it to the band, and I said, hey, this is a funny song. You know, let's make believe it's 1980. And everyone loved it, and then
yeah.
I was shocked when Sony said, oh, we want to make this the first single. So
yeah, it's a really good song. Where were you in 1980, John? You had just started your tenure here at KSHE.
Well, no, I started here in 76. So you
were still early.
Yeah, I was a four-year veteran, 1980. Complete blank. No idea what happened in 1980. You know, the Cardinals went to the World Series in 82.
Right.
So, I mean, that's when I started remembering things in the early 80s again. I don't know.
I was 15 years old.
15?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. What's the name of the record?
The whole record is called Shapeshifting.
So do you find it necessary to make a whole album in 2020?
I think so. I think that for two main reasons. Number one, the artistic reason. It's so important to figure out what it is you want to say and to be able to bring a good number of songs, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15, whatever, to your audience that makes sense, that bring a story, a direction, so they can identify with it. They can say, you know, hey, you know, like this is Guy's record and this is his blue period, this is his thrash period,
right.
I love it when he went EDM or whatever it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your audience choose what they like. You can never control it. It's their prerogative, you know.
Right.
But at least you give them something they can understand what it's about and how to listen to it, really, at least that introduction. And then I think that when you go out on tour, of course, you do need some sort of energy and direction that a full album gives you. I think if I was, you know, 18 and I was doing pop music, it wouldn't really matter.
Right. I don't think it does to them, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been around a long time. Everybody kind of knows me, and I've put out, what is this, the 19th studio record or something like
Unreal.
That?
Unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Has he ever sung?
I don't think so. I don't think we talk about it here, and I don't think he has.
I think he ever has.
Yeah.
So I can kind of do what I want, but at the same time, it's really good for me to deliver it with some kind of description so people know where I'm coming from this time.
We're talking to Joe Satriani on KSHE. Joe, I have to ask you, is the age of the guitar virtuoso over? I mean, because there was you and there was Eddie Van Halen. There were many others at that time. But you just never hear about a young stud guitar player coming up and blowing everybody away.
Oh, you know, I think it's always around us. But I think that the shape of it is so different. We just had a thing called the NAMM show down in Los Angeles, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for people who don't know about that, you know, that's the National Association of Musical Merchants. I can't believe I know that that's what it stands
for. It's a trade show, basically.
What it stands for is total insanity. That's what it stands for. But besides too many musicians getting together with too many manufacturers, it's a crazy convention. And, boy, I was down there just to play with Steve Vai and a few people, and there were amazing young guitar players down there with 6, 7, 8, 10-string guitars that totally blew my mind, and they are really pushing forward with it. They will, at some point, you'll see them on the Grammys or something like that, and you'll go, wow, this is the new one, and they've arrived, you know. But right now, I think, like, this year, it's still a little bit more retro.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was really happy. A couple of weeks ago, I saw Gary Clark Jr. On TV playing, and he was like the only guy who's playing his guitar. When he took a solo, he went back and knelt down by the amp to get some feedback, and I thought, now that's a real guitar player.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
He's on television in front of, you know, the American public. So I wasn't thinking like they were missing.
That was the Super Bowl? Was that
no.
Around the Super Bowl? No?
I don't know what.
The Grammys, maybe?
It was the Grammys, I think.
It, you know, Gary's a great guy to have there leading the pack right now. But, you know, he's a little bit more traditional. Or I'd say he's very traditional, you know. He's playing guitars and doing things that were pioneered in the 50s. But there are, you know, 20-year-olds out there who are doing things with 10 fingers on 10 strings that'll just totally blow your mind. It's just that they haven't, you know, wrapped it up in a more popular package yet.
I guess what you're saying basically is that right now you have to seek these kind of players out, whereas before, radio stations were much more friendly. They would just put you on.
Yeah, I guess so. It's definitely different, and I can't remember any year in the world of, you know, musicians and radio and TV where it was ever the same. It's just always a little bit chaotic. It's always changing. Everyone's scratching their heads going, wow, this is different from last time. But as the internet sort of democratized things for musicians, especially like myself, so I can release a single. It comes out in Mumbai and in Paris and in St. Louis the exact same day, and everybody in each one of those cities can play it as many times as they want. So, and you know, they hear it in the same fidelity, which is mind-blowing because, you know, 10 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, you could never do that.
Right. So there's good and bad, I guess.
Yes.
All right. So, Joe, being a St. Louis station, the can't let you go without asking you about Chicken Foot because, you know, it involves Mr. Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
what's the deal with that band? Will that band ever record again?
I don't know. I've been getting the feeling this year that it's less likely than ever before.
Really?
And
is that because Sammy's out all the time? Because he's going out on tour. Was it last year he didn't go out much, or the year before? I don't remember, but I know he's going to be in town here in August. You know, is it because he's so damn busy?
I think it is that the, you know, all four of us can't agree to get together to, you know, to do a record of some kind, and everyone's busy doing other things. I mean, the Chili Peppers just got back with John Frusciante, and they're off on a new trajectory to create a new album, so that's going to take another year, and then there'll be 3 years of touring after that, I'm sure. So
right. There
you go. I don't know. Sammy, you know, was talking about not doing anything, and then all of a sudden he booked about 40 shows, which is great, which is what I kept saying. We should be doing that. Chicken Foot should be doing
right
40 dates minimum per year. But, I don't know what's going on. I just had to tune out. I was, as you probably know, I was the guy who kept bugging everybody.
Why am I not surprised, Joe? You're the guitar player. You know?
And then I thought, you know what? I'm just like pissing these guys off. So I'll just back off. But I don't think it's going to happen, to tell you the truth.
So there you have. I mean, Chicken Foot's it's not going to happen. It reminds me kind of the damn Yankees. You know, in a way, because you had Ted Nugent and Tommy Shaw and Jack Blades and, you know, from different they each had their own careers and they were successful, and you know, they put out two records.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
It's not there.
I know Chad just played on Ozzy's new record.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, Chad is so amazing. We did our last record together, What Happens Next, and he's just a powerhouse. I mean, just a veritable hurricane of a drummer and a great guy. So,
yeah,
he should be on more albums as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Joe Satriani, the new song is called 1980, and it cooks as you would hope. Although I remember Always With Me, Always With You, Joe.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
God, and we played that. Well, I mean, just...
that was a good song.
That was a great song.
Still is.
Yeah. You know, you prove that it doesn't have to be fast to be good.
Well, it certainly doesn't. Yeah,
no.
Some of the best music out there is a little bit chill, and it reaches into that special part in your heart, you know, and that's what's great about instrumental music.
Right on. April 10th is when the new thing comes out, and you can hear it in Mumbai and St. Louis. St. Louis on the same day. Joe Satriani, thank you, and we will always love you here at KSHE, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
There you go. He's a nice man, isn't he?
He is. He's just, you know, you can just hear his voice and just hear it in it.
He seems like somebody who'd be, easy to work with.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
He's open, honest, nice.
You know, and I've seen Chickenfoot, man, and he just kills it with them. And, you know, it's kind of a drag that the four of them just can't get together, find the time. And, you know, whether they put out something new, I don't really care about, but I would just like to see him again live.
Yeah.
You know?
But they never really caught on, did they?
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Nope.
Even with all that star power.
Oh, my gosh. You got a Chili Peppers drummer. You got Joe Satriani. You got Sammy Hagar. And you got Michael Anthony.
Yeah.
What else could you need? But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe even a sign of the times, you know. I mean,
yeah.
It's just tough for new artists to get new music out there and accepted.
Right. Yeah.
All right. That's episode 73 of the KSHE Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan. And on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
And you can just follow me wherever I go. I am Favaz.
See you later.
AMF.
Bye.
The KSHE Tapes with Hewman and Favaz. For more on the history of KSHE, go to KSHE95.com or the KSHE mobile app.